The Planchet is a product of the American Numismatic Society. Become a member and support this podcast. Go to numismatics.org/membership. That is numismatics with an S .org/membership to see options and prices.
It's hard to remember. It was a long time ago, and we were in the beginning of that pandemic.
I'm Andrew Reinhardt, Director of Publications for the American Numismatic Society, and you are listening to the Planchet Podcast. This episode is going to be a little different. For the first time in exactly 1 year, I'll be interviewing live and in person back in the New York office of the ANS. My guests are 7 members of the ANS staff, and I've asked them all the same questions. What was it like working from home during the COVID-19 pandemic? How did it feel coming back to the office for the first time? And what are you working on now as things continue to improve? Each interview was conducted safely with masks on while keeping a physical distance of 6 feet. I hope you enjoy what will become an audio time capsule in the recent working life of the American Numismatic Society. This is Peter Van Alphen, Chief Curator.
It is hard to remember. It was a long time ago, and we were in the beginning of that pandemic fuzzy period. But I do recall starting to work on a number of our new initiatives, such as the Long Table, which we launched during that period. Continuing with a money talks that Zach Taylor and I presented on the CADS program, which is the computer-assisted dye study initiative that we're still working on, and also began to work on a project to recatalog all of our early modern coinage with David Yoon, from the 15th century to the early 18th century. I think we came back at the end of June, if I remember right. So we were here through the summer. Of course, sadly, we had to cancel the summer seminar for 2020. And sadly, we've had to cancel it again for 2021 because we're still not certain how the pandemic is going to play out and whether or not we can actually host our students again this year. So in the meantime, however, we've decided to launch a number of new educational initiatives, one of which is ANS Lyceum, which is a new online program. And I will be leading off with the first course starting on March 31st in just a couple of weeks. So I guess I better start getting ready for that, which will look at archaic through Hellenistic periods Greek coinage. And then once that wraps up in early May, Gilles Bronsborg, our executive director, and Lucia Carboni, our Roman curator, will then do 6 weeks or so of Roman coinage. And I think then we'll take a break in the summer, and in the fall, Jesse Kraft, our curator of Currencies of the Americas, will be doing another ANS Lyceum course on, I believe, U.S. coinage. So that's one of the programs. And then in addition, we also have decided to write a bunch of little booklets on numismatic methodologies and theories, such as weights and measurements, statistical analysis, stylistic analysis, hoard studies, dye studies, and so forth, which we will start writing and getting out the door towards the end of this year. So I live in Staten Island. I take the Staten Island ferry back and forth every day. And from my house in Staten Island, I can see across the harbor, see Manhattan. And during those 3 months that I was at home, I so much wanted to come into Manhattan. I missed Manhattan. I missed the ANS. I missed my colleagues, of course. But I also knew that once I did get on the ferry boat again and make that journey across the harbor, that it wouldn't be like it was before. And it wasn't. You know, Manhattan, you know, which is normally just a very packed, busy, just dense city, was just eerie in the sense that it had completely emptied out. It was like a early Sunday morning every single day in Manhattan, and it only now is really starting to pick up again. So it's taken, you know, the better part of a year for the city to come back to some semblance of what it was before. You know, here at the ANS, though, I mean, we were almost immediately back to what, you know, we had been doing before, obviously with some exceptions. I mean, one of which we do have certain protocols for mask wearing and staying in our offices and things of the sort. But it was great to be back. It was great to see everybody. Great to have some social interaction, even if at a distance and masked, because it was something, you know, I'd certainly been missing for those months. You know, because we have started so many new initiatives this year with these educational programs, with the various digital programs, that there was just a lot to work on immediately. And so, you know, we as a group, and also I, you know, individually had a number of different things going on. So I don't really recall exactly what it was, you know, right off the bat. It was just a whole pile of things. Probably the magazine, probably, you know, the ANS magazine. And as you know, somebody who helps me, you know, with the magazine, you know how it goes, you know, with the workload with the magazine, getting it out the door.
It waits for no one.
Yeah, that's right.
Or not, it has to go out.
So I'm sure that one of the first things we had to do when we got back was just charge into another issue of the ANS magazine.
Photographer Alan Roach.
So after the initial little bit of panic, because I mean I really can't do anything unless I'm here. I mean my work hinges completely on access to the physical objects. So it was a bit of, oh my, what am I going to do? I mean, am I going to be laid off or what? So I remembered in the back of my head that we had this box of old video projects that had never been dealt with. They'd just been put on a shelf and they were on old DV tapes. And so I figured out that it was a COAC from 2006. And I said, somebody should do something with this.
So COAC is the coins of the Americas Conference.
That's, yes. That's right, yeah. So we sort of left here in a panic. So I grabbed a bunch of stuff, including my backup hard drives and everything else. And David Hill, our librarian, discovered this shoebox, basically, of these old DV tapes. So my project during the lockdown was to learn Adobe Premiere Pro and assemble these things into some sort of a presentation that we could put online. And so that was the start of it. And then what happened was I have a horrible FaceTime video on my camera. So I'd read somewhere that you could convert your old DSLR into a webcam. So I looked this up and said, oh, so I have all these cameras at home, like half of them are broken. I'm not sure which ones work, which ones don't. But I found one that had the video feed out of it. And so hooked it up, rearranged the lighting a little bit using some of the stuff that I had from, you know, previous projects and softboxes, light heads, stuff like that. And everyone was like, Alan, wow, that looks like a film set.
Yes, well, it's like, what are you going to be shooting, Alan?
So can you do that at the ANS? I said, sure, I think so. And that's what started our foray then into long tables and the money talks that we do when people are here. Now, we can't do that when people are remote because it's just too much gear and stuff. But in a previous life, I used to work a little bit in film, so I had all this stuff lying around in closets that I never used. So it's like, let's bring it out and see what we can do with it. So we came back here fairly early on, much way earlier than most other businesses and people who are in offices. Because we have a unique structure here, the ANS, we actually have a fair amount of space per employee. So most people have offices that have doors on them. We could close the doors. We invested in a very sophisticated air purification system, which seems to work. I mean, we only had one case where somebody was exposed and didn't know it, came into the office. We had to shut down for a week out of an abundance of caution, but nobody got sick. So we've been back here since, I think, the middle of June.
Okay.
So much earlier than most other places, and it's a good thing too because I was running out of video projects. Everyone thinks that, oh, working from home is going to be great, you know, and it is up until a certain point. It's great for the first week. You're lying around in your pajamas. I was cooking my own lunches from scratch. You know, I could go shopping whenever I wanted to, and then totally flexible hours, you know. So, but bad habits creep in. So I would find myself taking a break for lunch, making lunch from scratch, eating it, so it became a two-hour thing. And then to justify then doing that, I would have to work till 9 o'clock at night or something. So there was this very strange thing where you had no separation between work and home.
Yeah.
And I found it very disorienting. We had gotten a large grant from a very generous donor who wanted to see an underserved portion of the collection photographed. And so we really had to start in on that because we were running months behind on that. So a very interesting project, coins that have never seen sort of the light of day, and very interesting medieval coins, so it's all sorts of knights in shining armor and people who look like 1970s rock stars with long hair and curls and everything else, you know. So they're very interesting coins to photograph, and the pictures are spectacular of them. They're stunning. So there's both myself and Emma working on that project at the moment.
Wow.
And I think we've caught up to our projected goals. We were running a little bit behind because the project started in March, right before we shut down. We didn't get to do anything until June or July for it. So that's what we've been doing.
Emma Pratt, digital design and media manager.
At that point, I was still working as the membership manager, so we had really hyped up our member engagement. So we were doing a long table every Friday, which I was hosting as our membership manager, and then we were doing 1 to 2 money talks a month. So that was, I mean, there were certain months where I only had 2 days off a week, essentially, because it was just 5 days working, and then the Saturday we'd be hosting a lecture, and so yeah, that's a lot of what I was doing back then, is just a lot of member engagement, sending out emails, finding new people to host lectures. And I was very happy because my home computer is kind of terrible, and here I have a big, beautiful computer and a big, beautiful office, which is admittedly larger than my bedroom, which was, you know, also my office working from home. So I was happy to be back. I feel like it helps me focus a lot more, and I could just get more done. I was very happy to be back. And it just felt more normal. Working from home was so strange. It just feels, even though everything else in New York City was totally closed down, being able to come into the office every day was nice. In my new role, I've been doing a lot of photography. So I've photographed, I mean, in the past week alone, I photographed over 600 coins. Which might not sound like a lot, but that's a lot of coins. That's like 1,200 photos to be uploaded. And that's been my biggest priority, is photography. I still have a lot of duties from being the membership manager, but now, especially this month, has been all photography. And I've just been hunkering down. And you couldn't do that from home. I think that was something that really took a hit last year, was photography. But now that we're back with the collection, we're able to see the coins, get some light on them, take the shots, and continue our digitization efforts, which are huge here.
Assistant Director Austin Andrews.
So at the time, I was still working with Dottor Wartenberg, Ute Wartenberg, on her Fanes project. So I was primarily doing a lot of database entry, cataloging information for her Electrum database. So it's an example. It's kind of this idea to compile every single example that we know of the earliest coins, which is this fascinating project that's still in the works, more to be done. But that was mostly what I was working on, was when we were fully locked down, 100% at home. I was working on Electrum, which is, it's this whole world, more to be learned about, and excited to see where that project goes. I was actually in just before everyone else fully came back, because there were some admin things that they just needed a couple extra hands on deck, and I was, you know, happy to bike up from Brooklyn to Varick Street, and, you know, sorting through the mountains of mail and getting it all squared away for us to come back and be ready to go.
What was the bike ride like?
It's really nice, actually. I mean, it's about 5 miles, a little under 5 miles, which is not bad. You know, it's deciding which bridge, you know, Manhattan or Brooklyn. That's the only real.
Was there less traffic than you normally see?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's nice. Like kind of the Walking Dead.
It's not quite that though. I mean, and I don't know if it's just the quirk of what the time that I'm coming in during the day, but I'm often on a subway car alone. Like I take the one to the 2-3 or the 2-3 to the one, depending on which direction, and I am sometimes solo. And that is, I think that is unique to me. I think they're holding these cars just for me. But that's the one kind of like eerie, you know, this is New York City, you know, we are millions and yet I am alone. I mean, there have been some role changes. I'm, like you mentioned, I'm as assistant director, I'm everyone's assistant, which has been a lot of fun to work in all the different areas of the ANS. And one of the tasks that has come with that is I'm kind of the primary membership liaison, which takes up a lot of time because our members are such a core part of what we do. We're producing, you know, wonderful resources, phenomenal research, but kind of undergirding all of that is this wonderful membership base of people who are interested in this topic that, I mean, it's fascinating. And so it's a lot of kind of keeping up with them, seeing what they're up to, what sort of direction do they want the ANS to be going in, and of course, getting in renewals. So, you know, if you're a member of the ANS, you pay annual dues, and unless you're a life member, so keeping up with all of that has been a big part of my day-to-day after the gala. So we had a big gala in January, which was fantastic to have a virtual program. So we ran the gala. So that was a big part of my return, actually, was once we were all fully returned, was working on the gala, getting that ready, coordinating everything, and then we put it on.
We'll be right back after a word from the ANS.
The Planchet is a product of the American Numismatic Society. The best way to support this podcast is join as a member. Since 1858, we have cultivated a community of scholars, artists, collectors, and amateur enthusiasts interested in numismatics and the tangible history these objects describe. Go to numismatics.org/membership. That is numismatics with an S .org/membership to see options and prices.
David Hill, archivist and Francis D. Campbell librarian.
Thankfully, it wasn't quite as long as we thought it might be or that other people were home working. I mean, it was only a matter of 3 months or so, I think. But at that time, we did have a lot of cataloging that we have a part-time cataloger, James Woodstock, and I helped out also with the cataloging. We were able to do a lot of that remotely. We prepared. I remember that frantic final day when we closed, and we thought, oh, maybe we'll close, who knows, maybe we'll be back in 3 weeks. But it ended up being 3 months. And we were able to prepare in advance. Sometimes we can catalog things just by having the table of contents, and we were able to find a lot online. But, you know, most of my time was spent, I'd have to say, working in our and fixing our database, our library catalog, Donum. And so really it was a kind of a perfect time to work with many, many spreadsheets of downloaded catalog records. And we were cleaning up a lot of data to make it possible to search much more accurately by date and also place of publication and by language and that sort of thing. So I was going through rows and rows of data and fixing up many, many spreadsheets. And we're working with the people who host our catalog in Argentina. FEEC is the name of that group. And our catalog is an open source catalog software, COHA, but we're unable to really maintain it technically here. So we contract that out. And they do a magnificent job. Whenever I have a problem, they get back to me right away. Sometimes quicker than the people that are really just on the other side of this building. So they're really a pleasure to work with. So that was a lot of what I was doing. But also I'd have to say that there were also things that I could do remotely such as working on blog posts for our blog Pocket Change and also writing for our magazine. So I remember writing quite a bit. And luckily, I had done all the research for an article that I was working on at that particular point in time, because I write four of these articles a year generally. And so I had done all the research, and so I was able to work on that remotely, so that really took quite a bit of time. But I have to say, after 3 months, when I finally got back here, as you can imagine, there were piles and piles of things on my desk. So I kind of had to work with that, but also these piles and piles of books and other materials. But I have to say, I couldn't have been happier to be back, because generally I don't prefer to work at home. And you know, when you're a librarian and an archivist, you really can't wait to get back to the stuff that you work with. And so it was just a pleasure. I mean, it makes it very difficult to write articles and work, you know, it's very difficult to work remotely as a librarian and an archivist. So I was so happy to be back that I can't tell you. But it took a while to get back up to a point where I felt that I had caught up with checking all this stuff in. And of course, you can just imagine that trying to have actually received all of the things that we were supposed to receive during that time period wasn't always easy. And in fact, it was very difficult through all of 2020 to be sure that we were getting all the magazines, books, and other things that we're supposed to be getting. And then auction catalogs, which we get by the hundreds and thousands. And so to try and figure out what we have and haven't gotten, and then writing to those people to try and get the materials that we were supposed to be getting, was quite a challenge. But I was quite happy to be doing it and to be back in the office. Sometimes I feel like I'm just walking into that office again, like for the first time, because I'm still, you know, if I'm working on getting the magazines processed and to the shelf and to our cataloger, I look over and the books that I've been buying have been piling up, or auction catalogs, piles and piles of auction. So we always have these kind of piles that are growing when I'm working on other things. And so in some ways, never seems to get caught up. So it was kind of, it's all the same feeling, you know.
Jesse Kraft, Assistant Curator of American Numismatics.
Things are going well. Been very busy. I've been back in the office since July, so you know, it's been several months now, and it feels good to be back. It took a little readjusting to get used to coming back in the office every day, but yeah, it definitely felt good to be back. Primarily, I was working on the FileMaker database and updating that. Making sure little nuances and individual records were updated, making sure that everything was in there systematically, and using the same different types of nuances for that. So I've mostly worked on United States colonial coins and transportation tokens and stuff like that. It was also a good time to get a lot of research and writing done that I wouldn't have necessarily been able to do while in office and dealing with people on a day-to-day level. It was good in that regard that I was able to essentially just to work unfiltered. So yeah, it was good. I got a few articles out of the way and a lot of FileMaker updates.
Yeah, a lot of screen time.
A lot of screen time, too much screen time, and then on top of that, everything turned digital as far as meetings go, so a lot more Zoom meetings. They haven't really, stopped since we're back in the office. Even things that we would have, live in the office in the conference room, we're still doing via Zoom, even though we're, one room apart from each other. It was bizarre, but a good bizarre. It just felt like part one of the pandemic was over, and it was the first sense of normalcy that we had in several months. And of course, that the full sense of normalcy isn't back yet, but it was like step one of something that I was used to from before that I could have on a day-to-day level again. Felt great. Mako, which you could ask me the same question in 5 years, and I'll probably still have to say Mako, because as everyone I'm sure hopefully knows, the ANS purchased the Mako archives in 2018, And it's literally, you know, 100,000 plus objects that's just going to take a long time to catalog and sort through and everything else. So, yeah, resubjected to Mako. That was one good thing about the pandemic, was that I actually had a vacation from Mako for a little bit and not have to deal with, beautifully crafted modern works of art, we'll say.
Lucia Carbon, assistant curator for Roman Coins.
First of all, I have to say that I enormously appreciated not having to commute to the office. So let's begin with that.
Okay.
So which means this is from the pros of working from home, means that if you work from 9 to 5, it's 9 to 5. Without any commuting, and for somebody who has a family with young kids, it's very important. But then I was able, I have to say, to work on FileMaker, of course, so in our database, but working from home created me enormous problems of access to not only to coins, but even to library materials. So, which means I had to rely enormously, not only, of course, on JSTOR and other access to online catalogs or online libraries I have, but also had to rely enormously on the generosity of colleagues, which is enormous, so I have to say. So I was able to go on working, but this was huge. So when I think about our colleagues in Europe and they say they cannot work, then I can understand what they're talking about, because now we are here in the ANS, we're back since July, and I have access to this marvelous library, and I could not have written a few papers I've wrote since then without this, unless of course I would have to bother, I don't know, 100 colleagues around the world, or perhaps deceased, like, I don't know, people who wrote in 1910, so it would have been a bit difficult to ask them, yeah. I mean, I ran for the vault. I mean, I really, no, it is really true, because I had accumulated this list of specimens of coins I had to check. So the moment I entered ANS, literally I went for the vault. And I think that that day I set the alarm off even, because I haven't checked that the alarm was off.
Oh.
I know it's terrible. So I just, you know, used the combination, say, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. And I set the alarm off. Yes. So just to tell you the eagerness, my eagerness to get into the vault and finally see the coins after what was like 6 months. Yes, so this was a huge difference. Next week, we have an important conference on the Wichonke collection, which I've been cataloging, of which actually we are publishing the catalog later this year. And it was very important for me to be here and actually check the coins and check all the references. And also, since several of the speakers are talking on coins, are actually talking about coins we have here, it was very important for me to provide extra information. So this is one of my projects. The other one I'm working on at the moment is the Roman Republican Dye project. In that case, I have to say, and this is because of the fantastic digital platform that ANS has, in that case, being back to the office hasn't changed that much, because those materials have been scanned in presence 2 years ago, that now are uploaded on Archer. So on that I've been working remotely. But yes, I would say that the huge project has these two, and for this one, which is good, which entails both an international conference with 18 speakers and this catalog, I mean, my presence here was absolutely fundamental. And on top, I have to say that having the chance to talk briefly and informally with my colleagues here is incredibly important. It's not only uplifting for my mood, but also gives me so many ideas. And that is the element that for which Zoom cannot compensate, because Zoom can compensate, I think, for formal meetings. But this thing of just chatting a moment while having a coffee is important. It's part of the really academic communication from which core project of collaborations, but even great ideas can come. So my thing is that I know that INS, for example, has enormously benefited from the use of Zoom, and that our long tables and money talks and even this conference now next week could not have been as well attended as they were and as they will be, hopefully, without Zoom. But at the same time, I do believe that there is an added value in the in-person, informal communication. So I hope that in the future, we will be able to have a sort of a hybrid form, which I think is where academia has to be headed to at this point, post-pandemic.
A long time ago,
we had a similar idea to our memory.